The 11-7 seems to be the new thing in the playoffs. I know in Edmonton's case, it had to do to injury a little bit and then suspension to Darnell Nurse. But Oilers are likely going 11-7, and there's a pretty good chance the Flames will do the same, as Chris Tanev is a little banged up.
Yeah, and I wonder, again, if it could this open up a little bit of offense? And we see guys get rotated through and play a little bit more than they usually do. I mean, we know Connor McDavid plays a ton. We saw how much he played Greggs in Game 7, and he just, I mean, he's outstanding to begin with, but he came alive and really took it to another level. So would that create more open hockey because guys are out there a little bit more, maybe a little bit of tiredness towards the end of the game? Obviously, the defense would have a little bit more rest, but, I mean, throw the fact in that this is not the Dallas Stars facing the Calgary Flames. This is not the LA Kings facing the Edmonton Oilers. Naturally, there should be more offense. But yeah, this 11-7 thing could be intriguing. I wonder what it does with the matchups, how Daryl Sutter wants to go head-to-head against McDavid and his lines, which is quite likely tonight. And Greggs, you mentioned the atmosphere around here and driving from the rink back to the satellite studios and vice versa. Like, there's a ton of Flames jerseys around here, and I noticed way more Oiler jerseys as the day progressed.
Oh yeah, hey, there's lots of transplanted Edmontonians. I think there'll be a fair amount of Oiler fans, but obviously the sea of red is mainly going to be red, just like the orange wave will be mainly orange, likely with a smattering of a few red Flames jerseys or white ones, I guess, on Sunday. And that's what makes it great. The atmosphere is going to be fantastic. Both players from both teams were I think trying to downplay. You know what? It's just another series, and you know what? I get they're trying to keep their nerves in check, so I understand it, but make no mistake, this game will be different. We had Craig Beauty on yesterday saying, hey, playoff series against your rival, you realized very quickly that it means more to the city. It isn't just you're playing hockey here, it's for the pride of the city, and I think these players, as they get a few games into it, will recognize that, and that's just going to fuel them to give even better effort, which should make for great hockey.
Yeah, I hope it does. I really hope it doesn't take a couple of games. I hope it takes maybe a couple of whistles and that these guys really dive into this series and maybe we see a scrum or two really early on to kind of set the tone. And maybe if Edmonton continues having those kind of slower starts and Calgary, which, you know, prides itself on having decent and strong starts, maybe a quick skirmish or something like that, a big hit, whether it's the Oilers laying a big hit on the Flames or vice versa, Flames big hit on the Oilers, maybe that gets Edmonton's juices flowing a little bit earlier because we know that that's been a focal point. I know that the other alternative to getting a good start is to just fire out Connor McDavid every second shift and basically play him 5 of the first 7 to 8 minutes. Good strategy. It worked against LA, but this is not the LA Kings. And you're right. I don't know how you don't have any of what's going on in this province seep into the action on the ice. I mean, the excitement back home is through the roof. The excitement here in Calgary, you can tell, is just as intense. And I mean, I think, and we've seen with players from both sides in recent years, a genuine dislike for one another. Why that wouldn't continue would be beyond me, because I think it really will kick up to another level and take up another notch. And it was funny listening to Nugent Hopkins talk about knowing about the previous battles of Alberta. Those guys were barely alive. They weren't even alive, Greggs.
No.
So this is a whole new thing. This could be a whole new chapter written by these players in this era of hockey, and it just adds to the lore. And I really hope that we get to witness that for the next 2 weeks.
When you look at, Nugent Hopkins and how he was used in round one against the Los Angeles Kings, him, Ryan, and Archibald, predominantly a lot of defensive zone starts. It was 28% for, 72% for Ryan and Archibald. Mm-hmm. And, significant, and that's between offensive and defensive. And Nugent Hopkins was next lowest of offensive zone starts at 33. When I look at this series matchup, I think Daryl Sutter, based on the regular season, is going to want to try to get the Gaudreau line out against McDavid's line. But with McDavid possibly playing with his line and then playing another 5 minutes with Kane and Hyman, I'm going to be very curious to see, especially on the fly, how Calgary counters that. And what's that going to mean for Nugent Hopkins? Do you think he's going to get a boatload of D-zone starts again?
If that trend continues, that means there's a trust there clearly from Jay Woodcroft in putting him out there with that responsibility. So, yeah, depending on how this game's going, if the Oilers are able to tilt the ice, then maybe he gets more offensive zone starts. But if Calgary's pushing and pressing and we're seeing Mike Smith cover up a lot of pucks, then sure. It's one of those things where it feels like Nugent Hopkins is really starting to – listen, he wasn't outstanding, out of this world great in that series against LA, but he had good moments. And if he can kind of wedge himself into a jack-of-all-trades type of role where, okay, he gets put out there with Ryan and Archibald, you got to be responsible defensively. When you go in offensively, it's probably going to be a little bit more simplified if you get into the offensive zone. So he can adapt on the fly to that. If he is out there with Kane and Hyman, then you know it's full tilt. Make sure you get it into the offensive zone and sustain pressure. And the ability for him to keep his feet moving, Greg's, whether it's on the back check and being that guy tracking back and being responsible defensively, will be vital. If he's got his feet moving in the offensive zone, keeping those wheels going and not getting held up and just gliding when he's trying to create offense, that'll be important. When he's at his best, whether it's offensively or defensively, is when his feet are actually moving. When he's in that kind of malaise and feeling out the game, that's when Nugent Hopkins is less effective. So the feet have to be moving for him in both the offensive and defensive zone. If you get puck touches in through the neutral zone, make sure he's being smart when he gets them in deep. Get it in deep, first of all. And then I think that'll determine and give us an indicator if Nugent Hopkins is going to have a good game. Are his feet moving? Is he making the smart, simple plays? How is he looking in his defensive zone? And then he could truly be that jack of all trades. Listen, not master of one or anything like that, but jack of all trades, good at many facets of the game. In a situation like this, I think anybody would take a player like that.
I look at the special teams of the Edmonton Oilers. The power play, of course, has been very good, but they didn't draw many penalties here the last two games. I think this series is going to represent, at least the first game, I think it's going to be more closely officiated to how we saw the first four games of round one. I think you're going to see, you know, 3-4 power plays from each team in game one. I think the officials are going to try to keep this one from being Mount Vesuvius. What do you think?
No eruptions. Yeah, good luck to the officials tonight. It's a tough task. And especially if it gets a little chippy, that's going to be hard. Like, would they throw a couple of guys from each side or a guy from each side in the box for 10 minutes if they're getting a little bit out of hand and carried away, and that's how the refs want to set the tone for the series? Yeah, okay. But I would like to see them. I really didn't mind the officiating. You know what? I'll track back a little bit. The officiating, when they let things go and let it be playoff hockey like in Game 7, I was more accepting of that officiating rather than when we saw through the first few games, like you said, them being a little tighter with their calls. Some of the ticky-tack stuff did get called in the first, handful of games. You could even stretch it to maybe game five. I prefer where it's more free-flowing. It has to be so egregious of a play that they will call it. I kind of like that, and I think that this would suit that series a little bit better if they were to be a little looser. But again, it depends on what type of scenarios play out. Like, if it's so bad and you have to call it, or it's a high stick, yeah, we get it. Or puck over glass, those ones that are automatic, sure. But if there's a little extra rough stuff, if there might be a little more stick work, I'm okay with them putting the whistle away for that kind of thing. But if it gets out of hand, then sure, it's understandable. You got to rein it in a bit.
Well, it depends what stick work. If you're hooking a guy and he's got a great scoring chance, like, to me, I don't want to see the standard. Like, when I hear, oh, they're letting them play. Well, that's not true. They're letting them go past the line of what's an infraction. That, to me, isn't good for the game. It's, you know what? Part of the game is special teams. Rightly or wrongly, that's part of the game. So if you're going to call hooking infractions, now, if it's a ticky-tack 50-50, sure. But if there's obvious hooking calls, it need to be called. Like, I don't care which team it is. I don't care which round it is. Because otherwise, you are directly impacted. Because now you're changing the game. Because that's not what you're doing in the regular season. So just don't change the game is all I ask. Now, I think sometimes every little touch people want, they're like, everybody's heightened emotionally. So anything that goes against their team, fans are like, that should be a penalty. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about legit calls. Just call the legit ones. I think the players are smart enough to keep themselves rather poised for the most part.
Yeah. And that's a fair way to tee that up, because the egregious stuff, obviously, you look at and you go, you have to call that, but I don't mind the little face wash. I don't mind them getting a little nasty with one another. I don't mind if a guy lays a big hit and the other guy kind of engages a bit after the hit and tries to slow the other guy up. I'm okay with that to a certain extent, but I think there's a fine art to calling playoff hockey, and we haven't really seen it at its best when it comes to the officiating, and I think that's across the board. It's not just in Canadian team series, not just in Oilers teams or Oilers games. It's kind of across the board. I'll be curious to watch it. I know our listeners who are watching the games, fans of the teams, will make it abundantly clear how they feel about the officiating every single night. I see it in the inbox post-game every single night, so I'm curious to see how it goes tonight. But I like a little bit more of the rough stuff. If it's within the rules or boundaries of, okay, let it happen, sure. But if it's egregious, then, yeah, you got to call some stuff like that.
When you look, Tom, at last night and you saw Tampa, they give up the first goal. They come back, and they just, it seemed their experience at times. Florida really wasn't able to cycle the puck at all against Tampa's defense. And then Colorado kind of dominated. If the Oilers are going to win tonight, what element of the game do they have to control?
Oh, I want to see them with a good transition neutral zone game where they're getting pucks up quick and efficiently, and they're minimizing any second looks at Mike Smith or third looks at Mike Smith. I think if they're good at clearing the house and making efficient passes to get out and start moving the other way, use your speed, try to attack Jacob Markstrom and try to make sure you're able to get secondary opportunities, maybe even some third chances. That's where I think they could be successful tonight against the Calgary Flames. Listen, we know Jacob Markstrom is a very good goalie. We know Mike Smith can rise to the occasion, but I think if Edmonton's quick in its transition, doesn't wait, you know, 30 seconds, 20 seconds for the change, and, you know, lets Calgary be ready in the neutral zone and set up its defense against the Edmonton attack, I think that's where Edmonton could give itself a bit of an edge. Now, don't get me wrong, Edmonton's defense needs to be alert and sharp and be aware of what Calgary can counter with, because they're quick on the transition as well. But I think Edmonton, with its weapons offensively, might be able, if it can win that element of the game, give itself the one up, at least get a game out of Calgary here.
Well, yeah, you want to split for sure if you're Edmonton, but if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you'd love to turn back the clock to 1988. When the Oilers went into Calgary for games 1 and 2 and won both and then swept the series. What's interesting is if you look at 1991, the Oilers were the road team. They won the series. 1986, the Flames were the road team. They won the series. Right? 1988, the Oilers were the road team. They won the series. And I know that that's history in the past, but the Oilers, while they're the underdog, to me, it's not remotely a monumental underdog. It's very, like, it might be 52-48, 51-49. Like, the Flames had 50 regular season wins. The Oilers had 49. Since Jay Woodcroft took over, the Oilers and Flames had the identical amount of points. Identical 55 points in 38 games. They both won in 7 games. Like, I don't, you know, I see a lot of people saying, oh, Calgary's, like, this is an easy win. That's what I don't understand. If you pick Calgary to win, I totally get it. But
sure,
to think that this is like, this is pretty close to a pick'em series in my eyes. Calgary does have home ice advantage, which I think is an advantage. I think they might have a top to bottom, maybe a more playoff suited defense score, but then they have to play like it. So, I am a little surprised by some people who think this will be an easy series for Calgary. I don't see that at all. I think this is going to be a barn burner series, and I think, you know, the McDavid factor is he's just so good right now that he's got the ability to win a game by himself.
We saw him do it 2 times. And that was, you know, clutch, monumental, something that we'll look back on and be like, he can do it. And he started to do it at this point where we're talking about the first round of the 22 Stanley Cup playoffs against the LA Kings, and he continued building his game and his legend grows. Like, I think we're starting to see a little bit of that. Could it continue in this series? Yeah, absolutely. Continue to cement himself as a legend of the game. You got to do it in the postseason, and there's no tougher task than your provincial rival. Yes, the legacy of the Battle of Alberta. Again, I'm with you in terms of the series going deep. These teams are more evenly matched than we think, and you know that 9-5 loss here that the Oilers had, McDavid said it best. That game was a gong show. They let it get away from them, but they cleaned things up after that, and I think we're going to see a good battle that goes 6 or 7, Greggs.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Keep in mind, the Oilers beat the Flames 5-1. It's funny. Both are a 4-goal deficit. Everybody focuses on the 9 because it obviously stands out, right? But if you beat a team 6-2 or 9-5, is it really any different? Like, you kind of pounded them by 4. So, you know, to me, the season series was a very homer series, right? The Oilers won both in Edmonton. The Flames won both in Calgary. And I don't expect the home team to win every game. I think you're going to see a road team win a few games here. And, you know, which one it is, you know, the momentum swings. You look at the LA series, like, from a series standpoint, the in-game, we never saw a lead change. But we saw a series lead change 4 times, right? Went from 1-0 LA lead, then Edmonton led 2-1, then LA led 3-2, then Edmonton won 4-3. And I think we might see a similar up and down with this Calgary-Edmonton series. I can't wait for it. Tommy, we will see you at the rink. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Greg. We'll see you in a little bit.